Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Hard Hits. This is Derek Felix, Derek Flex Felix, and this is Hard Hits Network, and just doing a short live hockey podcast again. The success of our last one was pretty good. Talked about the Rangers' struggles. Thanks to anybody who tuned in. This is the second installment on a team that continues to struggle, and tonight is another opportunity for the New York Rangers to wrap up a playoff spot. It's something that has not been easy for them to do. They are losers of three straight. They had the overtime loss to Crosby and the Penguins, which, you know, when you look at it, it was a competitive game. And it could have gone either way, even though I thought the Pens were a little better. And the Pens continue to win games, and they pulled away, basically, in second place. They keep winning. They destroyed the Flyers yesterday, and they're 5 points up. You have the last two losses, which were very, you know, befuddling and puzzling when you think about it. Losses to two non-playoff teams, you know, that play hard. Carolina is one. A game that was back and forth, Eric Staal's return. A game, you know, where Staal had nice tribute. And they had a lead in the game. And then they fell apart in the third period and gave up the final two goals. And including a power play goal, which, you know, was a little bit controversial. No question about it, Victor Rask, but there was no way to really tell where the puck was in relation to the blue line. It was in midair. You couldn't tell where Justin Falk was, and it was inconclusive. There was no way they were going to reverse that. But you had the Rangers falling short there and losing and unable to really mount anything in the final minute plus against the Hurricanes, who defended quite well, and they kept the Rangers to the outside, which was kind of discouraging, to be honest. When you think about it, you would expect them to be a little better, get to the inside. They have not shown enough desperation, not enough urgency, and this has been a problem for the Rangers all year, getting to the inside, and that was a problem, too, last year, even though they got all the way to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final against the Lightning, and the Lightning did the same thing to them. And that just awful shutout. You know what? At least they went two rounds. At least they got that to that point. And they got deep the last 2 years. I don't have any expectation right now. The Sabre game, same story. I did not see a lot of this game. I admittedly did not see the first two periods. But, you know, you come out flat at home. You put yourself in an early 2-0 hole on two Ryan Raleigh goals. Lundqvist not performing up to capability, and he's definitely succumbing to the pressure. And when I talk about that, I mean the pressure of the fact that the Rangers do not have the same defense. They lack attention to detail, and this is not the same roster, and it's not the same team. And that's the way they performed all season, basically, except for maybe one good stretch. And they've had good games here and there, like the Bruins game that I was at MSG, where they were cooking on all cylinders, and they still got outshot by a wide margin, but they played much better in that game. But there have been too many of these games where you just don't know what to expect. Against the Sabres, they fell behind 3-0, and Lundqvist was chased, giving up 3 goals on 9 shots, and he was out of the game at the 46-second mark. And Lundqvist has been pulled quite a lot this year. So this is something that we're not used to seeing. He showed a lot of frustration. It's been telling with some of his quotes. Does he hold himself accountable? Yes, he does. He does hold himself accountable, even though I wasn't sure about that. You know, but I read the full one until I read the full quote where he said, "Yes, he probably could have been better on a couple of his goals, but he definitely has not had the kind of season that you would expect from the highest paid goalie. And is it his fault? It's a combination. I mean, we've seen the wear and tear from defense, the wear and tear showing on Dan Girardi and Mark Stahl, two Warriors who played so many minutes, played so many big minutes in the past 4 years, three deep runs, where they went to at least the conference finals, the one Stanley Cup run where they lost to the L.A. Kings. And these are all very – it's very interesting. You know, and you had to expect that at some point that these guys were going to start to show that wear and tear. Don't forget, these guys were banged up last year. McDonough, too. Like, basically, the whole blue line was banged up against Tampa. So, and they still made it to Game 7. So, in that standpoint, it was kind of miraculous. I think the most disappointing aspect was that the forwards did not put out a better effort in that game. Most of the forwards were healthy, all right? So, and there wasn't enough of a forecheck. And forecheck has been kind of lacking for this team. And when you're not forechecking and when you're turning over the puck and you're giving up goals or you're miscalculating, like what happened between Ranta and Keith Yandle on the fourth goal, on the fourth Sabres goal, just a little bit of a miscalculation and a quick turnover, and the immortal Matt Molson scoring his sixth or seventh goal, you're not going to win games. You are not going to win games. But this is a podcast, and I actually do have a phone call, but I'm actually going to text my buddy back. I'm trying to just do this live and just discuss it, but what I will say about it is I'll definitely call him back because he's a huge Ranger fan too, but I'll try to text my buddy back. But they did bounce a comeback. They came back against the Sabres. Sabres are not that good defensively, and they cut it to 4-3. But you know, you get that 5-on-3, and their power play for the most part's been a lot better since they moved Keith Yandle to the top unit. See what happens when you move your best offensive defenseman to the top power play and the passing that he displays with Derek Brassard and the chemistry. Well, for whatever reason, that full 2-minute 5-on-3 was a disaster. It was the same old Rangers, long 5-on-3. Perimeter oriented, passing the puck around, looking for the perfect play, and just nobody willing to take the shot. And Kreider was standing in front, as he's been doing for a while, because he's been playing a lot better. He's having a much better finish to the season, and he seems to always do this. But you can't set up one-timer on a full 2-minute 5-on-3. Shame on you. They got outworked by the Sabres on that penalty. Give credit to the Sabre penalty killers, the four penalty killers. And you got to get more shots. It was Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, all right. And they made him look like Brodeur, or whatever goalie you want to call, because he actually had a good game. But they should have gotten more shots through. That's just inexcusable. Now tonight. Tonight is another opportunity against another non-playoff team that has been eliminated. That's Columbus Blue Jackets. They're going to see their old coach, John Tortorella. This is the final road game of the regular season for them. It could be starting the playoffs on the road the way things are looking. There's urgency here because they are 2 points up on the New York Islanders for third place. The Islanders are hosting the Tampa Lightning. The Lightning need a point to wrap up a playoff spot for themselves. The Islanders need at least a couple of wins to make sure to secure a playoff spot. The Rangers need one win, or they need help. So, and things are tight. And they actually got some help from the Pens, if you could believe that, who beat the Flyers. Otherwise, the Flyers would be all the way up to 93 points, and the Flyers would be also 2 points back. The Bruins lost in a weird game to the Blackhawks. They have 90 points, and they only have 3 games left, and they trailed the Red Wings by a point. And the Red Wings have that tie break with the extra row, 38-37. It's tight. It's tight for the wild card. It's tight for these final playoff spots. The Florida Panthers are the only team from the Atlantic that's clinched 97 points, but they don't have the row. The Lightning are about to clinch. They have 95. Even with their injuries, they're going to make it. You have three teams that have clinched so far in the East. Washington, of course, and the Penguins were all the way up to 100 points and just playing lights out since they added Hagelin. And the Rangers miss Hagelin. They miss his speed. And when he got traded to the Pens in that trade, and that move was made, I was like, this is a disaster. Because last year, they traded Hagelin. They did not expect him to wind up on the Pens. They traded him for Emerson Edom. Emerson Edom was a disaster. And yes, they at least used the draft pick to trade up in the second round. They made that move. That was a good move. You know, at least moving up in that draft there. That was a decent move for them. But you know, with Ryan Graf, but that's all they have to show for it. And that was not supposed to be the case. They did a very bad job there of management. Now, as far as tonight goes, it's the same old story with Alain Vigneault. Alain Vigneault is unwilling to play or change his lineup. He's unwilling to give kids like Dylan McElrath, who's tough around the net, can clear the crease, is healthy, has recovered. He's unwilling to put McElrath on the blue line and rest either Dan Girardi or Dan Boyle. Not willing to do it. And he's unwilling to put Oscar Lindbergh back in the lineup. You don't have to play Tanner Glass in every game. And Tanner Glass has given a good account of himself. So I'm not one of these people that goes by charts and says, oh, Tanner Glass didn't earn his spot. Tanner Glass earned his spot, but does he really have to play every game? Really? I mean, I know Vigneault loves the guy. They go back to Vancouver. But really, Elaine, you can't get Oscar Lindbergh back in there, a guy who got off to a good start, who had 12 goals. You can't put him in there, a guy who actually is willing to go to the net. Yes, he does take some bad penalties. But you're not willing to at least try Oscar Lindbergh on your fourth line or on your third line or whatever you want to do on your fourth line would be because Stahl, Fast, and Hayes have great chemistry. And that's the thing about this coach. He's so loyal to these vets. It's just so frustrating. It is so frustrating. And I don't criticize. I don't get on the vets. This is not a Dan Girardi's fault. It's not a Mark Stahl's fault. It's not a Dan Boyle's fault. It's the coach, folks. It's always been the coach. Yes, the coach has had great success here. I will give him his due. He's had great success. He's gotten them to a Stanley Cup final, and he's gotten them to an Eastern Conference final in Game 7. They never give up. They came back from 3-1 twice under this coach. So he does get credit for that. He gets credit for a lot of different things. But they are fragile. They've blown a lot of leads in the third period, given up more goals in the final 5 minutes of the third period than anybody else. They are not a good penalty-killing team, even though the penalties looked a little better lately. He makes some baffling decisions when it comes to defensive draws in the final minutes of games. They got beat by Cal Clutterbuck because he had the wrong guy out there. We had Stepan out there, and he lost it cleanly, and he had Stepan in the overtime. He did play the hot hand in that case, so I'm not going to kill him too much on that. He makes bizarre personnel decisions at times, and these are the things that get micro. You know, they're under the microscope in the playoffs. I don't know how long the Rangers are going to be in the playoffs. They still haven't made it. They still have to win. You know, if they lose tonight and the Islanders win, guess what? The New York Islanders would be tied with the Rangers, and they would have an extra game left. So they would be actually in third place, and the Rangers would move down to the wild card, even though the Rangers have the role. They still have the role of 40-38, if that happens. That's worst-case scenario. The Rangers' final three are at home, and they got the Islanders coming in on Thursday. That could be very interesting right there. They got the Islanders on Thursday, folks. They got the Lightning tomorrow. They got the Islanders Thursday in Detroit, who's going to be desperate in the final one. These are all going to be very interesting games. I can't tell you how disappointed I am with the coach and with Ulf Samuelsson and why they will not give McElrath another. It's one of the most mismanaged things I've ever seen. It's very disappointing, and it's coming to a head. Now, as far as tonight goes, they got to be a little more consistent. They got to forecheck. When you face a team like Columbus, you want to get off to a good start. You want to put them away and get the job done. Now, as far as Lundqvist goes, I would have gone with Franta, to be honest. Why is Lundqvist going tonight? I know you like to bring him back, but Lundqvist should face the better team. The better team is Tampa tomorrow. But that's the way the coach is, and that's the way he's going to be. All right, that's what it's going to do for my live podcast. I hope you tuned in, and thanks for tuning in. Check out the archive. Maybe we'll do some more later. Check out our blog, newyorkpuck.com. This is Derek Felix signing off. Good night. See you later.
I'm talking to you. Come on. What gives you the right? What's the difference between you and me?
I'm not wearing hockey pads.